Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
That was Drake May with us on Monday in our weekly interview with him, which I assume we're going to be doing again this Monday, even though they're going to be only a few hours removed from landing back in the United States. They're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars at Wembley Stadium bright and early on Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. kickoff. By the way, you can hear the WEEI Football Sunday program with myself, Chris Schein, Megan Ottolini, Fitzy, Tommy Kern, we're going to talk to in 10 minutes, and of course, the great Andy Hart. It will be on as well.
You're lucky you threw the great in since I was last.
Well, you're the last one that comes on. You're the closer.
Save the best
show.
For last.
Okay. I'm the closer. What kind of closer am I?
That's true. More of a John Wetland or a Mariano Rivera. Which kind? Either way, that's what you can look forward to on Sunday leading into the game. And as far as the injuries concerned, we talked about that in the first hour, about whether he's actually hurt, the MRI, who asked for it, was there even an MRI? Did Volan end up getting snookered again? Like, what's going on here? Either way, assuming that he plays, and I know you talked about this yesterday with Fitzy and with Mego, but I just wanted to revisit this conversation here of what we're expecting and what we're hoping for from Drake May. And do you want to win tomorrow? Is this tomorrow, Sunday? Is this a game that you think matters if they win or lose?
Unlike 66% of Patriots fans that want to win this game, many of whom replied, well, you're going to get a top 10 pick either way, or you're going to get a top 5 pick either way. I don't want a top 10 pick. I don't want a top 5 pick. I want a first or a second pick. It's more valuable in every round. I can do more with it. It's just a better asset. Anybody who's ever studied those stupid trade value charts knows the number one pick is significantly more valuable in every round, really, as you work your way down.
True.
So, yeah, no.
Why wouldn't it be?
Exactly. I don't want to win. I want to see Mac damn it, I did it again. I don't want to see Mac Jones.
Well, you might see Mac Jones. Something happens to Trevor Lawrence, but that's not what you meant.
Yeah. Drake May. Just recorded the preview pod on Six Rings with Fitzy a few hours ago, and tell me if I'm wrong here. Why not, against a pass defense from the Jags that's not very good, their defense isn't really that good, you can throw on them. Opposing quarterbacks have thrown 14 touchdowns and one interception so far this season.
That's
14
pretty good.
To 1. You have a new hotshot quarterback who seems to like to sling it. Why don't we just open it up? You want to start fast, Gerard Mayo? Guess what? You're not going to start fast because of some drill in practice. Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand that storyline. Yeah, we're going to do this drill where we're going to say start fast, and then we're going to work on starting fast. And I'm like, how does that work? I don't really understand what drill you do to start fast. Like, it made no sense to me. Anyway, you know what a good way to start fast would be? Get the damn ball, shotgun, spread them and shred them. No stupid handoffs, no run-run-pass ratio. Pass, and you know what else you do? No huddle. Go tempo. Just put your hot shot rookie signal caller in the role he's best at, which is just playing damn backyard football like he's with his brothers, right? And I'm being dead serious here. I want to see them open it up a little bit and just let him sling it. Get the receivers involved early. What did he say this week? How does he build confidence? Completions.
Yep.
So complete a damn pass on the first play of the game and go from there. Build his confidence. Take the momentum from there. So I know, old school, you got to defer, you take the ball. Nope. If we win the toss, I want the ball. If we lose the toss, I hope they defer. I want the ball. I want it in Drake May's hands, and I want to see if we can shred this defense like some other quarterbacks have. 114 combined passer rating on the season, opposing quarterbacks against the Jags. Why not Drake? Why not Sunday morning?
Absolutely. I'm 100% with you right there.
Wow, I got you excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see what Drake May does in this game. I'm excited to see him against a weak team. I know that the Dolphins weren't a great team, but we didn't play in that game. So this is it. This is sort of what that Dolphins game, I think people were hoping that would be if he had started in that game. You're getting sort of a soft landing here. You're not going up against a very, very good team like the Texans or the Niners or the other teams everybody was all afraid of. Also, Ramondre Stevenson was not at the practice before the team left for London today. Ooh. Neither was Vidarian Lowe. They were both absent. So both of those things. Lowe maybe makes you want to reconsider all this, but with no Stevenson, we saw what that run game looked like against, again, admittedly, a pretty good Texans front there, but that's not a great rushing attack without Ramondre Stevenson. I think that's clear. And that's not really what you got Antonio Gibson and Jamichael Hasty for. They weren't there to sort of split the load and be that. They were supposed to be backups for Stevenson, and he was supposed to be the lead guy. And if he's not playing, then you're going to have to rethink the run game. You're going to have to rethink every part of the offense, really. I mean, that includes the play action. That includes screens. That includes all sorts of other stuff here. And I think that all points to letting Drake May grip it and rip it, basically. That's what I'd like to see. I think that's what they're going to have to do. And not for nothing, but as you said, that's what's been successful against this Jaguars team with every other team that's played them.
So, dark and stormy nights. I knew I'd get it from somewhere. Twitch chat, text line, call, you. So, dark and stormy nights on Twitch chat says, incomplete pass, sack, punt with less than 2 minutes off the clock. So? What do I care? What happened last week when you were conservative and you ran the ball and ran
run,
the
run, incomplete pass, third and long, fourth and long, punt. Yeah.
Okay.
Same thing.
And then you were playing a much better team that had a much better defense and a much better offense. The Jags, you can go three and out. By the way, you can go three and out with runs or you can go three and out with passes. I don't really care about the time on the clock in the first minute of the game. I think there's a much better chance for positivity where he feels confidence. He completes some passes. You get some energy. And maybe you get the Jags to say early in the game, oh my God, are we going to even get rolled by the freaking Patriots?
Yep.
They stink like us, but they're going to roll us too? Like, I don't see any downside to starting the game in a more aggressive manner, throwing the football, no huddle, whatever you want to do. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You'll probably still be in a dogfight with another crappy football team. Who cares? What do you got to lose?
Nothing. I don't think you have a single thing to lose out there. I really don't. I think that this is as good of an opportunity as you're going to have probably for the rest of the year to get this kid's feet moving here and get him going and get him hot and try and put some points on the board and try and win a game too, which I know you just said you don't want him to win the game. If May goes out there and airs it out and the offense starts clicking and they start putting up points, they start blowing this team out, I'm going to be saying run up that score, man.
Me too. I'll want yeah. In the moment, I'll want them to win the game. And then afterwards, I may kind of regret it and be like, oh, son of a bitch, we're not going to get the number one pick anymore.
All right. Joining us now on the phone, on our hotline, is Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston, brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and by Drains by James, Eastern Massachusetts' top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Mr. Kern, how we doing?
Christian, Andrew, how's everybody?
Everybody's good. It's good to be talking with you. It's been a bit of an interesting week here for the Patriots, who I believe have just taken off now for London and will be on their way there in transit across the pond. This type of week, I think, has brought up some questions with Christian Barmore and his whole thing in Providence, as well as some of the back and forth between Jalen Polk and the coaching staff. And I guess the question is, what's the vibe right now in this locker room? How is everybody sort of reacting to this news? And is Gerard Mayo in control of things?
I think the vibe is they need to win. They need it really badly. What I'm kind of focusing on this week, which is kind of related to what you're talking about, is when it's stated so frequently that it's a building year and a foundational year, and you're trying to move ahead and establish who you want to be a part of the future, there's an acknowledgement within that that you're a team that doesn't really expect to win and succeed very much this year. You're trying to win. You're trying to get better. You're trying to figure out who you're going to be. But there doesn't seem to be like the same week-to-week urgency with that mindset. You contrast that with last year, for instance. Last year, the Patriots were a bad team, too. I don't know if they were 1-4, but floundering. But there was an urgency that was present always because they were trying to get to a place. And then when the urgency left, because you could tell that they were not getting to the place of success, there became urgency just in the anticipation of what was going to happen. And I think it's different now because the expectations are so low that the urgency is absent. And when the urgency is absent, I wonder if guys take the same level of ownership. It kind of tracks back to me pointing out Drake May glad handing after the Jets game a few weeks ago. And again, that was something that I used as a jumping off point for a bigger picture, is don't be accepting of losses. Don't be accepting of being a bad team. Don't just say, well, that's how it is, and that's how we are. And that's how I think the two things are related. you know, Jalen Polk can take responsibility for dropping balls that are clearly catchable in his hands and not say he's got the best hands in the NFL. I don't get the concept. And I think we need to – so, yeah, you can hear him talking in circles here, but that's the point I'm trying to make with this team and the vibe right now.
Tom, do you like my idea? And I don't know if you could hear it when you were waiting. I want this team – I'm a little like Kayshon Booty, be a little more aggressive. I know Jerod Mayo wants to start fast. What's wrong with the idea of maybe taking the ball or if you get possession first, going, I don't know, shotgun, tempo, let – Drake May throw the ball a few times to start the game, kind of taking the bull by the horns and trying to get everybody involved early.
I love it. And the reason is we spent 5 weeks and they got to 1-4 trying not to lose.
Right.
Trying to play games close to the vest, stay in the game, wait for the other team to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And in playing not to lose, they lost all attack mode. And Jacoby Brissett was basically willing to take sacks and unwilling to try and make plays. And I think that Alex Van Pelt called the offense in a similar way. And he actually came out last week doing the same thing. I mean, they didn't want to get him into third and down, and they run the ball on first and second down right into the middle of the defense. Of course it's going to be third and eight.
Yep.
So, yeah, 100%. You have nothing to lose. It's hard to watch you right now. At least be fun. And last week's game was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. It was very fun to watch. It would not be fun if Drake May is out with a knee injury. Did he or did he not get an MRI, Tommy Kerr?
And is there a house in Connecticut?
Yes, right. That too. First of all, we know that only one person has really reported this. I heard Phil Perry talking about it yesterday, or last night, I should say, and I guess the team hasn't denied it. Is there any update on MRI gate here?
No. I have no information as to whether or not he got an MRI. He's on the injured list with a knee. He was full participant yesterday. We'll see if he's listed as full again today. But he's got a knee injury, and it tracks that somebody with a bad knee might get an MRI. But he's a full participant, so I just until he's missing time, I would or declared limited, and we saw a video of him today or saw him out of practice moving around fine. Whether or not he got an MRI, I can't imagine that Ben Volen would make it up out of whole cloth. And I know that he's had some sourcing issues in the past, but he's got an E thing. I wouldn't be stunned if he had an MRI.
So, your guy, Jerod Mayo, I don't know if I want to call it, he didn't threat, he didn't really promise, he just sort of stated that there's going to be changes, including starting lineup changes, based on the way the team's been playing, based on some of the undisciplined play. Do you like sort of the approach he's taking in that area in terms of trying to get these guys in order and to do the right thing? And am I wrong to assume Jalen Polk could be one of the options to not get as much playing time?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, if you don't catch the football and you're one of the lowest rated receivers, if not the lowest rated receiver in terms of balls, is he 9 or 10 catches out of 24 balls directed his way? And the number of drops, it has to be close to 4 or 5. I think that I would say, yeah, that would be a place to start. Does that mean he's trash and can never play? I doubt it. He looked good all summer. So, of course, did Tyquan Thornton annually, but I digress. I think it's a smart move. You asked initially about the vibe around the team, and the Barmore thing is the Barmore thing, but then you add them all up. The Javon Baker speaking out on social media because he was mad at authorities. Now Barmore speaking out on social media. You have Jabril Peppers has been arrested. You have just this vibe around the team of a little bit of disorganization. And I think that they need to ooze competency and ooze we're in control here. We have structure. We're in a position where we have put football at the highest level of importance to us. So if saying out loud at the podium, we're going to make changes, when I ask him, what do you do when these guys commit penalties? Are you going to yell at them? I mean, who gets yelled at was the question that I asked him when they have repeated penalties. And just to state, I'm going to make changes, I guess, is at least trying to get your hands on the reins.
Any idea who else he could have been referring to, if not Jalen Polk?
No, I guess anybody, because it was a question related to penalties, anybody who committed a penalty that was head-scratching and horrible would be probably in the crosshairs.
Okay. Robert Kraft spoke with the Breakfast Club this week. Were you surprised by his comments on Bill Belichick and the way things ended there? It seems like he struck a bit of a different tone from what he's been saying for really since it happened.
Just in the word, using the word fire, I think would be, I mean, I think that we all understood that when they stood there and said that it was a mutual parting of the ways, the reason they were mutually parting was because Bill wasn't accomplishing what they had hoped. And I think that Robert probably understood Bill wasn't willing to make whatever changes could have even conceivably been made to keep the job. So it was going to be a firing based upon the performance of the team over the last 5 years and the direction that it was in and the drafting and everything else. So when we look back, really, Christian, at all the saber-rattling that Robert Kraft did in the years prior about he's got to perform, we've got to make the playoffs, we have to be a team that does these things, there was always an or else attached. So for him to articulate to the Breakfast Club or whatever it was that he didn't do those things, so he was fired, really tracks with everything else he said. I think it was more honest than he had been previously. So there's got to be a point at which one would hope that being stated, which is the facts of the matter, as far as Robert Kraft was concerned, agree or disagree with the decision to move on from Bill, let sleeping dogs lie.
I understand this is a premature question. It's also disrespectful, but I asked it to...
Who's getting fired?
funny, you're pretty good.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
At this then, I asked it to Mike Giardi yesterday and he gave me an interesting answer. I won't tell you his answer, but what do you think the percent chances are that Alex Van Pelt is the offensive coordinator for the Patriots in 2025?
93.
Oh, interesting.
Look at, just simply, what's the most important thing for the New England Patriots in 2024?
Developing Drake May.
Drake May.
100%. Drake May, when he was out there at his first rookie minicamp, was robotic. Bedard and Giardi both said he's got a hitch in his throw. He didn't look extremely smooth. His footwork was in progress. By the time minicamp came, he wasn't a hell of a lot better. You could still see that. We all had some misgivings about little aspects of what we were watching. Beginning of training camp, Jacoby Brissett was a better player than Drake May by a kind of significant amount, and he outperformed him at the beginning of training camp. Midway through training camp, May kind of hit the turbo boost, and he started performing better and better. And now over the first 6 weeks, as Van Pelt pointed out today about something that May didn't practice this week, he said, I don't think he could have done that in week one. The most important thing in 2024 is developing Drake May. Drake May is developing at a pretty astounding clip when you really look at where he was and where he is. So I would think he's doing a really good job with that, with the most important thing. Is the play calling second guessable? 1,000,000%.
All right.
Is he getting what he needs to from his different positional places, especially wide out offensive line? No, but the point I'm trying to make is if he's doing well with that, steady would probably be the way to go next year too. Sorry about that.
I apologize, Tommy, but it is now time for the flex.
No, what do you say? Do you think that makes sense?
No, I do. I was just really looking forward to the flex of the game, and I was just very excited to get to it.
That's
what we got to do.
You better
here.
Have
so,
one.
With Tommy Curran's flex of the game presented by FlexCar, ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Tommy Curran, what's the key to this game this weekend against the Jaguars in London?
The key to this game is going to be Drake May's ability to be mobile. He ran for 3 first downs last week, was able to generate plenty of yards in off-schedule throws as well, including the one to Hunter Henry for 30-plus yards. Will he be limited at all with his knee? So the flex of the game is how well does Drake May actually flex his knee on Sunday in London? So bear that in mind as you watch the New England Patriots taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars Sunday morning in London.
Very good. All right, Tom, we'll talk to you Sunday, WEEI Football Sunday, bright and early, and we're looking forward to that. Thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you Sunday.
What time are we doing that?
I think like
I have 8:30 pregame.
Oh, really?
Holy crap.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll get you in the 7 o'clock hour then. I guess we'll have to.
Okay.
I know. I'm looking forward to it, too. See you, Tom. That's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll talk Celtics as the ESPN top 100 list of all the top 100 players in the NBA is out, and the Celtics are all over it. We'll get to that next.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.